I was raised in a Christian home. I went to Christian high school. I graduated from a Christian university. I taught Sunday school. I'm very involved in my church. Taught Vacation Bible School. Led ladies' Bible studies. This wasn't supposed to happen in my life. It absolutely was not. I married a man that I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt was the man God had prepared for me. I loved him so very, very deeply. I felt he was such a gift from God. I had two beautiful children, intelligent, did well in school. This was not supposed to happen to our family. This was not supposed to happen to me. I had a relationship with the Lord. I prayed for my husband. I prayed for my children before they were born, that they would be healthy and happy and have friends and a good life. This was not supposed to happen. So it was a real shock to me to find myself in the midst of living and loving with all of my heart, an addict. My husband's a professional, very, very successful in his field, highly esteemed. And I was the only one that knew what was going on at home behind closed doors. When I caught him using, he was standing in our closet, and I literally caught him with a needle in his arm. He's a narcotics addict. And from that moment on, I just lived in sheer terror that that would happen again. Oh, and that began the, roughly 3-month cat and mouse game we had of me following him around to see if he was using, calling him on the phone to check his voice and see if he sounded okay, wanting to believe with all of my heart that tomorrow would be better. Tomorrow he would not use, he said he would.
Welcome to Unhooked. My name is Pastor Bernie.
And I'm Dr. Kitty, and we're going to be talking about the family impact when there's addiction in the home.
And we have two terrific guests here. We have Jeff Jones and Selena Schuler. Welcome back.
Hey. Thank you. Good to be back.
Thank you. And can you tell me, what should one do if one sees some destructive behavior related to addiction in the family? What would be the family issues that you see around that?
Well, I think, first of all, you don't want to just ignore it. You want to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And not only within the family, but with other families, other people within your church. And just put it out there to find out that, hey, we're not alone in this situation. And that's the beginning of a lot of help.
Conversation, huh? Got to get it out there and just start talking about it.
Correct.
Not let it sit quietly and just sort of
addiction is fueled by the secrecy, I think, around it. So I think it's important that you seek for individual therapy. You seek to kind of talk about it with an interventionist, maybe get an interventionist involved to kind of see if you can get some support there to the next steps of, you know, getting help, getting the addict into treatment, that type of a thing.
So for a family, how do they bring in a third party? How do they get someone to help them have that conversation? Because very often it's very difficult. If it's just their family, we're just going to ignore it because we don't want to go there. How do they get help with starting that talk?
Wow, that's a great question. I mean, the internet's a huge resource, I suppose, but there's so much smoke and mirrors in the internet as well. So I don't know. I think that so many churches today have, you know, counseling centers within them, and I'd start there and then get direction from there and see if you can get some good referrals.
Mm-hmm. What about a spouse? And a spouse finds out that they're married to someone who's addicted. That creates a lot of feelings, anger, resentment, bitterness. How do they begin to deal with those emotions and those feelings?
I think it's important that they get connected with Al-Anon groups and do individual therapy and kind of look at themselves and their identity in the whole process. So I think that a lot of times spouses lose themselves when they're married to an addict. So I think it's important they start to figure out what their goals are, how to set their boundaries, what they want for their future, and that's really supportive of the addict too, in the sense that they kind of have their own sense of self, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And if there's children involved, I'm just wondering, how do we protect the children? How can a spouse protect the children in the home while not trying to minimize what's going on, but address the issues of the child?
It depends on the severity, I think, of the case of the addict and the age of the child. So I think that if the child's very young, you need to seek out some professional help to make sure the child's safe, they're in a safe environment to be in the home. And then at that point, work alongside of a professional as far as making sure that the child's able to express their thoughts and their feelings and that there's no secrets involved, because that's also very unhealthy for children to be involved in the system with secrets and that they have to carry the secrets.
I mean, look at it from a child's standpoint. If they're not talking about it, the kid thinks that this is standard procedure. It's okay for dad to be drinking the way that he does until he passes out and to yell at mom and all of that, and it's not okay.
Yeah, I've always heard that children are extremely resilient. You know, how is that true? Can children come out of these things and be okay and live healthy? You know, deal with things in a real healthy way going forward?
Wow, great question.
Well, typically, I think a lot of the kids turn out to be addicts themselves in the future. So if they don't address this early on, this could be a pattern that follows them throughout life. So even if you don't see signs early on, I still think that they're there. And either you can marry an addict or become one yourself. So you have to be very careful of those factors.
Yes, in the literature it talks about the high risk of growing up, when you grow up in these environments, of yourself, like you say, becoming an addict. And so that modeling, you know, once again, learning those, like you said, they just learn that it's okay and this is the way you cope and deal with life and so forth. So I'm understanding from what I'm hearing from you that treatment for the child is also important.
Very important, yes. Yeah,
the entire family. It's almost as if, you know, the alcoholic or the drug addict comes in with head lice and it gets all over everybody. And so everyone needs to be treated to some level.
How do we help kids get treatment that they need? And for a parent, you know, every parent wants their kid to just, they want to think that they're a great parent and they've done a great job raising their kid. How do you deal with that sense of blaming yourself? You know, here my kid is, they're strung out on stuff. And I know a lot of parents beat themselves up. What do you tell a parent that's struggling, you know, with that sense of blame?
Well, I think it's important that they understand about AA themselves. Like I've said before, go to Al-Anon, work the steps themselves, kind of work through their own fear and guilt and resentments and all of that that goes along with addiction. And then at the same time, taking care of yourself. You know, self-care is very important for parents. Learning to love yourself helps you love someone else, too, with appropriate boundaries. So I think that's very important.
Yeah, it's like Carrie's story. It was really, it was just a shock to her. And everything was exposed as a lie. And it just was very, very shocking. And the resentment falls very, very deep. Resentment seems to be the number one tool that the enemy uses to create this spiritual darkness in the family. And forgiveness is a solution. And really, to forgive, you need to understand the disease that it is. You can educate yourself by going to AA. You can, and then you can be amongst, you know, fellowship at church and in Al-Anon meetings. And that, and all of that, it helps. And then, of course, coming to the Lord to help us forgive and giving Him the problem as it is.
Well, it sounds really like you said, the whole family's impacted, that we need to understand the individual needs as well as collectively what might be happening and to support that, because the impact on the family is key to this.
I was going to say, when do they intervene? I mean, when do they engage and try to deal with the issue if they have a spouse, if they have a child that's involved in an addiction?
In a perfect world, yeah, it would be right away. But it's not really what happens. You know, we kind of hope it's going to go away. We hope this will stop. We can hope that, you know, the new job or finding a job or getting, you know, just this or that or the other will change things. But it's usually so far gone. It's really quite desperate when people finally do reach out for intervention.
So we understand that the impact on the family can be very significant, but it's never too early and it's never too late to really do something on the road to recovery. And we'll be going to a break right now and be back in a minute.
When I think about realizing and actually coming to terms with the fact that my husband is a drug addict, My son is an alcoholic and drug addict. And my daughter has been caught in addiction and in self-harm behavior. There's so much guilt, there's so much regret, there's so much pain, there's so much sadness. There's watching my dreams that I had for them die. Because even if the destination is reached, the path will be harder than I wanted for them. I think one of the most significant things I've learned through our family story is that you cannot stop addicted behavior or an addiction when it's got you in its grips just by wanting to stop. I've watched it over and over again. I've watched my husband try or want to stop the addictive behavior. But it's too powerful at the point that it controls. And I've watched my son in agony over the consequences that have resulted from his behavior while he was in his active addiction. And it's heartbreaking. It's hard to love them, and yet there's no option. Of course you love them. It's hard to trust them. And that's a reality of addiction. Lying is part of it. Broken trust is part of it. It's part of the monster that is addiction. It takes over and they do things. I've had to learn to live with and to love a man that I can't always trust. And that has been a daily decision on my part. And frankly, I think I've only been successful with God's help. But it can be done. An addiction does not have to destroy a relationship. It does harm to a relationship that takes a lot of healing and a lot of work to restore. But it does not have to end a relationship.
Welcome back to Unhooked. We've been talking a bit about forgiveness here. Talk to us now and just talk about how we regain that intimacy. You know, there's forgiveness, but how do you begin to live with this recovering addict and have a new relationship altogether?
Well, I think that forgiveness is a process also. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, and my experience has been that, as the layers start happening, really, I found myself that it was very, very difficult to forgive. And I because I have this thing called a mind that remembers it, and it keeps playing it back. And the Lord seems to be able to leave the memory of it, but take away the pain that was involved in it. Only He can do that, the miracle of that. Yes. And it requires a lot of prayer and a lot of faith, and He will answer that. Once that's accomplished, then good therapy is what comes in.
And current brain research shows that actually gratitude is really helpful for the brain and brain functioning. So I think that adds to what God tells us. So I think if we can be grateful for the addict and what they're going through and the new steps that they're taking, that will help a lot with forgiving them and regaining some intimacy with them in the future. Understanding about their disease, going to AA with them, taking part in their CHIPS and all of that, I think that's a great process too, to help with intimacy. Sometimes too, I have the addict's journal to their spouse. So just every day talking about their recovery process and journaling to their spouse, and their spouse can add to that if they want to. So I think that's very helpful too.
You know, it seems like in the dynamic of a husband and wife, you know, one spouse is the addict. It always seems like the spouse that's the addict, their whole life, you know, they consume the relationship. Everything's about them, right, and their addiction. How do you help temper that or balance that so that it's just not all about them?
Yeah, that's really hard because typically while the addict's in treatment, the family's not getting a lot of help. So we try to incorporate them into doing some individual work and then couples therapy so it can focus on the other spouse that's been kind of in the background, figuring out what their needs are, having that spouse stop for a second and mirror and try to understand their spouse. Mm-hmm. Those types of techniques are very helpful.
And the 12 steps with the addict are going to point towards that exact solution, becoming less self-centered and more concerned with others. And the spiritual process that goes on, the the recovery itself is just that, and you really do truly become more involved with, you know, your spouse, more concerned about her or his feelings. Oh, and like so it starts to take place naturally as long as the program is being attended, you know.
I've heard some say, you know, it's like now that my spouse has been through some treatment, I don't have another child, I now have a partner. Mm-hmm. And that there's a whole nother level there. But that shifts the roles in the family, and so it does address the issue then of the child. What might we say to a child about the fact that a parent is an addict and help them to understand the impact of what that might be like?
I think the best wording is very important. And so to say, you know, Tammy, mommy is really sick. Instead of a bad person, mommy's really sick and she needs to get some help for her sickness. And what she's doing is not okay, and so on and so forth. But just using the correct wording is very, very important. And that's an education in itself.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes also letting them know it's not their fault. You know, I think we get back to the, you know, sometimes adults do what adults do and it's not your fault. And so addressing that in therapy, I'm assuming, would also be quite important.
And I think a lot of times kids pick up on things that adults don't realize. So when these things are coming to light, I think a lot of times they're surprised, parents are, as to what the kids see and what they understand. So I think a lot of individual work, art therapy, different ways of self-expression without shame, is very mm-hmm. helpful to children.
So you have a family with multiple children. You got a young child and maybe someone that's 11, 12 years old, and maybe an older teenager, and you're dealing with one of the parents having an addiction. You know, what do you do with that? Because you can't just sit down and have a family meeting and talk to everybody at the same level. How do you deal with multiple ages?
I think you have to look at each individual as an individual depending on their developmental stage. The smaller kids would have to go to individual therapy. And like you were saying, I think as the couples go through their own therapy together and the strength goes on with the parents, I think the kids get healthier too. And the parents can educate and do the parenting in a healthy manner. So I think it's just definitely situational depending on the family and their needs.
And they have to be, I mean, it seems like that's a lot of work to get, you know, in recovery, to try and take your family through all this. You know, how do they, I mean, you got to pay for that. You got to sit down and work at it. There's so many distractions. How does a family really get it done and really, you know, get healthy and well? And
A day at a time.
Okay, that's good. Yeah.
You know, understanding that's all that we can do, an hour at a time, a day at a time, because that's how we got all sick, an hour at a time, a day at a time. And those things go by, and next thing you know, we're in complete chaos. And, you know, I think, you know, the Lord knows what he's doing, and you know, what doesn't kill us will strengthen us. And, you know, what's going on in every family is a challenge to overcome this enormous problem by coming to him, and he will lead us all, and there's many, many ways that he can work, you know. So he can use somebody like me, then he can use anybody.
It's part of a process too. So putting hope into one thing is really not a good idea. So I think when families come and they think, okay, just treatment alone is going to, you know, solve the problem, then I think they get disappointed when a relapse happens or something occurs in the future. So I think knowing it's part of a process. And it's a long process. So typically at our sober living home, too, we separate the family from a long time from the attic so that there's a distance, and then we have to kind of restructure things a
bit. It's another type of detox.
Yeah.
It's not a chemical detox, but it's a systemic detox.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I would imagine the family is doing some work even though
the
member that's an addict is not present.
There's a lot of resistance, though, with the families. It's very hard to get them to go to Al-Anon to get help because typically they're looking to the addict. Mm-hmm. It's your problem, that type of thing. So it's very important that families do engage in their own work.
The Bible talks about training up a child in the way they should go. When they're older, they won't depart from it. So how do we help kids just avoid being addicts altogether? How do we just prevent this thing from even ever getting started? Is there a way to do that? Train them up, right?
Yeah, I think educating them in an early age about addictions, I don't think that ever an age is too early, so I think even mm-hmm. the youngest of kids, you can tell them about making choices for themselves in the future. The things that they choose are going to make an impact Diagnosing your kids early on, making sure that they get diagnosed for things like attention deficit, like as we were talking earlier. Healthy lifestyles and patterns for the parents, so keeping yourself healthy, involved in church, making God part of your life.
Very good.
Because we're talking about the entire, you know, the problem that is going on worldwide.
Yes.
And the solution isn't more treatment centers. The solution is coming back to the family unit and becoming, you know, the way God intended us, you know, closely knitted, caring for one another, and walking with Him.
Relationships.
That is the solution to all of this.
Absolutely.
And so, yes, you know, we want to train our kids, and we have to maybe retrain ourselves first.
Wow, you guys have been excellent, Jeff and Selena. And Unhooked will be right back.
I'd say one of the most significant things that happens through the course of living with someone who's in an active addiction is what it does to your faith. You know, here's a man I love so much, my children that I love so much, who I've prayed for, and they're acting and struggling in ways that I never dreamed. In the midst of it, I'm thinking, is God hearing my prayers? Am I getting through? Is He upset with me? Am I not good enough? What did I do that our life is like this? What's wrong with us? I certainly felt during those times of intense crisis that we did not have God's favor. I did not feel God's love or care. I remember begging and pleading for God to heal this behavior, this chaos, this addiction that had a grip on my husband or my son. And I knew that no matter what I thought, it didn't change who God was. But I really questioned my relationship with Him. Did He really love me? Or was He just the creator? Could He really come down and in a very personal way work in my heart and heal my family? Is it possible? Oh, yes, it is. And what comes of it, the reward is this intimate and genuine and very real relationship with God. But I've desired to come about that relationship with Him in a different way? Would I have desired my son to have that relationship with the Lord in another way and my husband? Absolutely. It has been very painful. But God in His wisdom and His faithfulness has brought us this healing and in this path and in this way because He loves us very much. He's been very faithful.
Carrie's husband was an addict. His addiction was hurting the entire family. And when entire families are affected by addiction, the whole family needs help and treatment. Not only the addict, we believe that if just the addict would get help, then everything would be okay with me. My name is Dr. David, and I can relate personally to this story because I, too, lived with a family where addiction was in place. At first, I got help because I wanted to be a good person, a helpful person in this family. But soon, I learned that I needed to get help for myself because I was negatively affected. I had my own responsibility. I was just as sick, and I needed help as well. If you're in this situation, there is help available for you. I know one of the issues that I wrestled with in my process of recovery was the issue of forgiveness and anger. I wanted justice. I needed justice. I had been hurt in this relationship, And as a part of being hurt in this relationship, I had some very difficult things that I wanted to ask God. Lord, I need justice when I'm being hurt. And what we try to do is we try to get justice from the one who hurt us. But there's really only one person, I learned, that can fully meet my needs for justice. And that is the person of Jesus Christ. As my sin bearer, as the one who took on the sins of the world and identified as the sinner, the burden bearer, he earned the right to come to me in place of the one who hurt me and say, you know, I am so sorry that you've been hurt. I'm so sorry, and I take responsibility. I will come and I will offer forgiveness to you. Here, take the hammer and take the nails. Crucify me and let me offer you forgiveness. For more information about how you can break away from habits that hurt, contact Adventist Recovery Ministries. And for prayer, call 1-888-446-7388. Choose to become unhooked today.